Beginning today, I'm going to be presenting a series of lessons on the topic, the strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. But before we begin today's lesson, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, thank you for salvation that came at a great price, your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to shed his blood on that cross for us, to pay for all our sins, past, present, and future. I pray if there's a lost soul that's listening today, that they would be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'd bless the listener, bless the saint of God, bless your words as it goes forth, and we know you promised that it will not return void. Have your will in your way in our hearts and minds in our lesson today. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. Lesson 1 is entitled The Deceiver. And let me give you the brief outline, our roadmap for this Lesson 1. It will be as follows. First, we'll look at Satan's target, which is your mind. And then second, we'll look at Satan's weapon, lies. Thirdly, we'll look at Satan's purpose, to make you ignorant of God's will. And then finally, we'll look at our defense, which is the inspired, preserved, inerrant words of God, as we have today in the King James Bible. Let me begin with some scriptures, some passages that talk about our enemy Satan, the devil. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, the words of God say this: "Ye are of your father the devil, in the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So here we see, we're told clearly in the scriptures that Satan, the devil, is a murderer. He's a liar. And he uses lies to trip you and I up. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse number 9, the words of God say this: "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So we see here the devil, Satan, the old serpent, the great dragon, is a deceiver. And we're told he deceiveth the whole world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, the words of God say this: "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We see that Satan, the serpent, he beguiles, he's subtle, he's crafty. And how does he attack? He attacks us through our minds. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. In 2 John, 2 Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 7, the words of God say this: "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So the scripture clearly points out to you and I that there are many deceivers out in the world, as we know there are. There are many so-called false religions. Amen. They don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They don't confess that he's the Son of God, that he's the Savior of mankind. No. So when you meet up someone against someone, we're told clearly that that person's a deceiver and an antichrist. Amen. Now what I'd like us to do is go back to the Garden of Eden for a moment. In Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7, and we'll be looking at this later on, but I just wanted to give it to you. Let's read it together as we lay the foundation for our lesson. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the words of God say this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." So now, as we want to look at, in lesson one, our first point here, Satan's target, your mind and my mind, amen. When Satan wanted to lead the first man and woman into sin, he started by attacking the woman's mind. This is made clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, the words of God say this: "But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, why would Satan want to attack your mind? Well, because your mind is the part of the image of God where God communicates with you and reveals his will to you. It is unfortunate that some Christians have minimized the significance of the mind because the Word of God emphasizes its importance. And scriptures show the importance of the mind. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, read with me what the words of God say in verses 9 and 10. And we want to notice the emphasis on the mind here. We are told, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." So when you and I are born again and we're saved, there should be a change in spiritual clothing. Amen. in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're to take off and we're to put on the new man. Amen. And that renewing takes place in our mind. Amen. Now look with me. Also, I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 17 to 24. The words of God say this: "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." This is the mind. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." The heart and mind are connected, amen. "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." See, we're being instructed here not to walk, now that we're born again and we're saved, not to walk as unsaved do, in the vanity of their mind. Again, see, it has to do with the mind. The mind, our mind. Verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Okay, if this has taken place, if you've learned by Christ, been taught by Christ, have received the truth that's in Jesus, then in verse 22, "that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your," where is it? "Mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So, we see here also, one more scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we're instructed, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we see the emphasis that the scriptures put on the mind. You see, God renews our lives by renewing our minds. And how does he renew our minds? Through the truth. And this truth is the words of Almighty God. Amen and amen. In our Lord Jesus Christ's prayer to the Father, the Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, one of the things that he prayed to the Father was this, as we see that the truth is the words of God. He says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So if Satan can get you to believe a lie, then he can begin to work in your life to lead you into sin. This is why he attacks the mind. This is why we must protect our minds from the attacks of the wicked one. Notice with me what the words of Almighty God have to say here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The words of God say this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. My friends, if it's not true, amen, if it's not true, the Word of God says, do not let it enter your mind. Again, let me repeat that. If it is not true, the Word of God says, do not let it enter your mind. In recent years, science has discovered many fascinating things about the human mind. Like a computer, your mind can store facts and impressions and even emotions, then recall them years later. Your mind can reach into the future through imagination. Your thinking, my friend, affects your feeling and willing. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, the Word of God reminds us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The doctor says you are what you eat. The psychologist says you are what you think. Satan knows the tremendous power of your mind and he tries to capture it for himself. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The Word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What's the condition? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you want to have peace, my dear friends, then your mind needs to be stayed on the Lord and you need to trust in him at all times. See? Because Satan will try to take away that peace. But he won't be able to do it. If we're promised that God will keep you in perfect peace, but your mind has to be stayed on him, fixed on him, and trust in him. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the words of God says, for to be carnally minded is death. The flesh, the old man. If that's what you mind, then the wages of sin is death. That's what the flesh does. It sins. Amen. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So again, we see the importance of the mind and why Satan goes after it. So if you're going to be spiritually minded, keep your focus on the Lord and the things of God and be obedient to him and live for him, then you're going to have life and peace. You see, your mind affects your whole being. I believe that a person's attitude is important to their health and success in life. And the scriptures show us that. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, we are told, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. See that? A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Inward and outward. If you have a cheerful heart, you'll be cheerful inside. You'll be full of joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it'll come out to the front. But by the sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. Amen. And then we read in Proverbs chapter 15, 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And then in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That merry heart is important. Amen. Your attitude is important. A merry heart will give you a cheerful countenance, a continual feast, and it'll be good like medicine. Amen. Now, we're going to take up the second point of our outline for lesson number one, which is Satan's weapon, lies. Now, Satan came to Eve as the serpent, the subtle deceiver. And we've already seen in Revelations 12:9 that the devil Satan is a deceiver. He deceiveth the whole world. And we saw in John 8, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, that he is a liar and the father of lies. Amen. It is important that you notice the steps Satan took in getting Eve to believe his lie. Notice, first of all, Satan, the serpent, he questioned God's word. The serpent, it says in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman," here he is questioning God's word, "yea, hath God said." See that? He did not deny that God had spoken. He simply questioned whether God had really said what Eve thought he had said. In other words, he's saying to Eve, "Perhaps you misunderstood what God spoke," is Satan's suggestion here. "You owe it to yourself to rethink what he said." It is worth noting that in this suggestion, Satan is also questioning God's goodness. In other words, he's saying if God really loved you, he wouldn't keep something from you. In fact, he tried the same approach with our Lord in the wilderness. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, we read in the words of God, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." In other words, he's saying, if you're God's son, why are you hungry? Amen? Now, another thing the serpent, Satan, did is he denied God's word. Notice, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." You see, it's but a short step from questioning God's word to out and out denying it. Of course, neither Adam nor Eve had ever seen death. All they had to go on was the word of God. But this was all they needed. If Eve had not listened to Satan's questioning God's word, she would never have fallen into his trap when he denied God's word. Notice something else that Satan did here. He substituted his own lie. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. We read this, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open." Here it is, "and ye shall be as gods." See? Adam and Eve were already made in the image of God. But Satan tempted them with an even greater privilege to be like God. That was, of course, Satan's great ambition when he was Lucifer, God's angelic servant. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14, if you would. In Isaiah chapter 14, read with me, if you would. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14. See? We're going to see here how that was Satan's great ambition when he was Lucifer, amen, to be like God. Notice here what it says in the words of God. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan is a created being, a creature. But he wanted to be worshipped and served like the Creator. You see, my dear friend, it was this attitude that led him to rebel against God and seek to establish his own kingdom. As he said to Eve there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, and ye shall be as gods. Amen? And ye shall be as gods is the one gigantic lie that has controlled civilization since the fall of man. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. The words of God here in Romans chapter 1, verse 25 tells us about man. And we read here, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So they had the truth about who God was, but they changed that truth into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See? There it is. Ye shall be as gods. Amen. This is the one gigantic lie that has controlled civilization since the fall of man. To be as a god. Satan, my friend, desires worship and service, and Jesus Christ would give him neither. Look with me in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 8, or Matthew chapter 4 rather, verses 8 through 10, the words of God say this, and the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. The deceiver. The deceiver. We've just about run out of time here for our lesson one on the strategy of Satan, how to detect and defeat him. Lesson one, the deceiver. We looked at Satan's target, which is our minds, and we're beginning to look at his weapon, his lies. So when we come together once again on the pastor's study, we'll continue here in lesson number one on the deceiver. Again, this is Brother Gino Castieri. Thank you once again for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.